Let me just make a note here. I wanted to
And so you asked the question about, you know, about the way chemical R&D is going, and I just think, I hope we don't lose sight of things like this. Mm-hmm. In other words, that I hope we don't lose sight of being the excitement that an individual has about the intellectual content of science. That's very important, as I said, to doing good science. And as you see it, I see it from the point of view of science. And the scientist has an obligation, whomever he's working with, to his employer, whether he's working for an academic institution or an industrial organization, to be doing something that's going to have the best interest of that institution at heart. And I think I've tried to have that my whole career. I haven't tried to do science here just to the exclusion of thinking about company problems. As a matter of fact, I've tried very hard to integrate science with company problems, because I have found it's not all that hard to do. I find that you can do science in almost anything. If you set your mind to it, you can find some way of taking a scientific approach to it. And
you mentioned the fact that even when you go home and you read, you like to read about science. I was struck by the fact that you wrote an article for Scientific American.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering what your experiences were with writing something for the educated layman, as it were, but not the specialist.
I like doing that because the experience I've had when I do this, it's not always easy, I'll tell you that. And but it makes you see it in a different perspective, and I think sometimes trying to do that makes you understand your own problem better, your own science better. And I think I don't find it easy to write. I find it difficult to write. But the reason I think I find it difficult is that I think when I write, I try to communicate with I try to think about the reader that I'm writing for, rather than just for somebody who is a total specialist in the field. And I think that's one of the criticisms I would have about a lot of what's done in science. Some people don't tend to have the general readership at heart, and I think it can hurt science because we develop so much specific jargon in specific areas, and we fall back on that when we write papers. We don't try to explain enough, even for the well accomplished scientist. We don't explain well enough, in my view, in many cases. I try when I write a paper to do that. I hope I've been successful, but I don't. It's hard work, and I find writing difficult because I think that science can get too specialized, and it's not in the interest of the specialty either. Because if you do that, pretty soon you shut out a lot of other people in science, and you reduce the impact of your work.
One of the things that I was struck by in that Scientific American article was the chart which showed the relationship between catalytic activity and periodicity.
Yes, I've done a lot of that kind of thing.
But the way that particular graph was set up in that article, it was so striking. It just leaped out at you. It was really an incredible relationship that I don't think I'd seen quite that way before.
Yeah. I've done a lot of that kind of work, and that is the kind of thing that convinces you about the scientific underpinnings of catalysis. It's not voodoo. The periodic table still means an awful lot. You can't throw away the periodic table when you're doing catalysis.
Well, as a teacher for a long time, you know, we go through introductory chemistry, we go through Mendeleev, we develop the periodic table, and point out how other new elements were discovered based on his predictions. And then you like to say, well, now here are all these other things that have happened because of the periodic table. And it's not easy to come up with examples. They're out there, but the textbooks don't give them to you. So you go out and try looking for them yourself, and it's not easy to come up with it. In these interviews, I've uncovered several cases where the periodic table was a crucial thing in the thinking of the individual.
Definitely. That's something that I'm doing all the time. that's for sure.
Well,
have we covered most of the things you think you...
And I want to thank you for taking the time this afternoon. Thank you for lunch, and I've enjoyed talking to you. Appreciate your time.
Mm-hmm. Now, what will happen here? Will this be transcribed and then...
Maybe you could tell me a little bit more about the origin of this book on bimetallic catalysts.
Yeah, the book on bimetallic catalyst that I wrote, it was published in 1983, was the first in a series of Exxon monographs. This program was brought about through the efforts of Ed David, who was then the president of the Research and Engineering Company. And he thought that it would be a good idea for industrial researchers to communicate with the larger scientific community about industrial research programs that have been conducted over a long period of time. And the accounts could be written from a personal point of view. In other words, there's no attempt here to discuss a broad range of literature on a topic. This is to talk about the research that was done and the approaches that were taken to the research, what the impact of the research was, what might have been learned about the science along the way, and you'll note the subtitle, Discoveries, Concepts, and Applications, those are indeed the things I wanted to emphasize, some of the aspects of research. What's the nature of a discovery in an industrial environment? What do I mean by the concepts and how the concepts were evaluated and ultimately how they're applied? And Ed David thought this would be very useful for communicating with the scientific community, had hoped that this would even have an effect on education, on students. And one of the most satisfying things that ever happened to me on this is that it's happened on at least one occasion, and it might have been on a couple of occasions, where I got a telephone call from a graduate student in a university whom I had never heard of, who had seen this book and had read it, and asked me a specific question about it, and in some cases had devised a research program for a thesis based on something that he had read in the book. And I said, if that's happened even once to me, that's made the writing of that book worthwhile. But that if it has had any effect to interest a student and have a student follow up, and I've found, as I said, several instances where students have been interested in this, and in a couple of cases have pursued this in considerable depth. I was amazed at how much they looked at, because it's probably not all that easy reading in some places, but
how many other monographs were published in this series?
I don't know exactly, but there were a few. The program got off the ground, I would be just guessing, but maybe it's something of the order of a half a dozen or something like that. But I could be off by a factor of two here or something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
But that's not being done anymore, and in my personal opinion, I think that's too bad. I guess I spent a lot of my own time on that, really, because I wanted to do it. Ed David had asked me whether I would do that, and I thought it was a worthwhile thing, and it helped my own thinking about a lot of things, particularly from the broader issues of scientific research, and how do you think about scientific research, how do you approach it, how do you communicate it, And I think it's a good disciplinary thing to do, to try to analyze what you've done and try to communicate it in the best way you can, and try to get as much you can about lessons about how you would go through a research program again, mm-hmm. how you might improve a research program you embarked on. So you see, this encompasses about 20-year period, I guess, is what I remember. It's interesting because over that period you see evolution of certain things, you see evolution of approaches to problems. You found, as I mentioned, I had to start with chemical probes, and I was able to, things happened enough during that 20-year period that we could see physical probes evolving to work on the problems, I think that there's valuable lessons here to see how science and industrial science progresses, mm-hmm. or can progress.
Okay, well, thank you again very much for a delightful afternoon. I appreciate your time.
Oh, I'm delighted that you came. I have enjoyed talking to you very much.